Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven, get another drink. Oh, fill us, Lord. Fill us afresh. Fill us anew. Yes, and replace all those things with you. In Jesus' name. Woohoo! Nothing like drinking on a Tuesday night. Would you turn to Psalm 133? Glory. Psalm 133. Everybody there? Let's speak it together. Behold, and how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. In other words, that blessing, again, we've talked about positional blessing, right? Well, that blessing is actually, that command is a promise, life forevermore, those who are in position. And one of the things that the Spirit was revealing today is, he says, you know, not enough of my people possess the promises. And we want to talk about possessing the promise of God, because God has multitude of promises. And so many times we don't possess them. And in that area of possessing, there is a process that we go through to possess these things. In Psalm 103, you know, because right now I truly believe that heaven is open. And I believe that heaven will stay open for a period of time. And I'm not going to say that heaven is open over everyone, but it's open to those who are positioned. In Psalm 103, in verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits." These benefits are promises. "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Praise God. These are promises. And there's an area where we must possess these promises. And so many times we quote promises but never possess them. In John 10, "I see many people falter. I see many people turn away. I hear of individuals that have died, have been killed accidentally, or attempted to be killed because they were not positioned." Let me tell you, the devil wants to kill you. It's real simple. He wants to kill you in any way he can. Any opportunity he will get to kill you, he will. But thank God. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. And there's that area where he says, now, okay, it's time for us to learn. You know, you never know when mercy or grace is going to end, do you? In John 10 and verse 10, would you read it with me? It says that what? "The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." In this more abundant life is a place where you and I possess the promises of God. Possessing the promises. Life abundantly. That's an area of freedom. That's an area of prosperity. That's an area of favor. And all these areas of God's promises which are available to me and you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the what? The Spirit in our hearts as a what? Guarantee." Is that a promise? Amen. It's a promise. So we see here that all of God's promises are yes and amen. In other words, he's not trying to hold anything back. But there's a place of position where things are released to us. In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. 3:26. Let's speak it together. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed, heirs according to the... So you are heirs. That means that there is a promise of inheritance. We are also known as children of promise. We are children of promise. We are heirs of all the promises of God. But if you've ever noticed that even when somebody is an heir or something, sometimes somebody will leave a trust for someone, and there are stipulations according to that trust, isn't there? So if an individual does certain things or reaches a certain age, things are being released to them. And that's the same thing in the kingdom. It's the same thing of God's promises. In James chapter 1, possessing the promise. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Let's speak it together. Blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who what? To love him. In other words, if he endures temptation. In other words, if he overcomes. Right? He's not taken out. He's not swayed. So these are promises that God has with us, that he would receive a crown of life to those who endure the temptations. Anybody being tempted? Hello. You're tempted daily. You're in the earth of temptation. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and starting at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and what? Precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Through these precious promises, that means there is a release where God establishes his character in me and you so that his divine nature is established in me and you. His character. He said these are called great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will what? You'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These precious promises. And these precious promises is so that he's telling us, look, you don't... If you don't stumble, these are constantly released. If we don't break covenant, if we don't get caught up in the ways of the world, if we don't go backwards, you know, people who live out of their past have no future. They have no future. They're still living out of their past. They still live out of unforgiveness, bitterness, with labels on their lives, all kinds of stuff. They're still living out of, they're still trying to live according to their past instead of to the new creation. And I'm telling you, if you're living out of your past, there is no future. You can't access one because you're still living the past. What happens is you try to bring the past up with you, always. Always bringing the past up. And that means that there's no future. The only thing you have is a past. And there's no promises in living in the past. Amen? Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Is everybody there? In verse 4. Let's speak it out. I sought the Lord and he heard me and deliver me from all of my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. And what happened? And was saved out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want or lack to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Go to verse 17. It says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. These are promises of God. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. That's humble. Verse 19, look at this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. In other words, you're going to be afflicted. You're going to go through stuff. You're going to be tempted. But the Lord will deliver you out of every single one as long as you're positioned. And there's an area of position that is the heart, the mind, the will. There's a position in all these areas. It's positional blessings or where the promises of God are released, and this is where we possess them. The greatest thing that we want is freedom in everything. We want to be free. We want to be free from torment. We want to be free from fear. We want to be free from all kinds of things. We want to be free. Freedom is learned. Amen? And, of course, trust is earned. You know, people say, well, he's a born or she's a born leader. No, nobody's born a leader. Really, think about it. They're really not born leaders. There may be born again leaders. Amen? But leaders, people get in places of leadership because they were tested, tried, and it was earned. Not because of an individual, but because of their submission. You know, even at a workplace, a person isn't put in a position of leadership until they become more like-minded with the leader. Amen? So as you and I become more like-minded with the leader, God begins to place us in leadership. Too many people try to put themselves in leadership, and let me tell you, it crumbles. It causes problems. The enemy eats them up, and it produces pride. It produces arrogance and anger. It produces all kinds of things of the flesh because the person is not spiritually positioned. Spiritually, first. You know, when people first get saved and so forth, there's a process, isn't there? You know, there were things that I kept saying, man, I'm not going to wait that long, Lord, to do something. Well, hallelujah. I'm still waiting. I thought, my gosh, these people have been doing this for, you know, they've been walking with the Lord for so many years. And I'm like, Lord, I got to wait that long? And then when I began to research and see that it took some individuals, even in the Bible, 14 years, even David. I'm thinking, man, 14 years. But I realized that if you die quickly and learn quickly, you'll get in position quickly. Remember, you've got to go through the training. You've got to go through the trials. You've got to go through the testings. Without going through these things, you don't earn trust. You don't gain position. You lose it. Amen? So welcome to the house of death. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Access by one Spirit to the Father. And in this we see that there is the area of covenant promises. God has a covenant just like he had one with Noah. He had one with Abraham. And there's a covenant with Jesus, who that covenant with me and you is a covenant of promises. Has everybody got it? And in these covenant of promises, there's a place that you and I accept and possess these promises through obedience. Through what? Obedience. In 1 John chapter 2. In verse 25. It says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. He said, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him, born of God. Amen? Turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Possessing the promise. Let's speak it together. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may what? Receive the promise. That's phenomenal to me. Because so many people just think, well, Jesus paid the price on the cross for me, then I'm guaranteed every promise. Well, he paid the price for me and you so that we can access and possess every promise. Has everybody got it? Everything's available to us. But if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you're not doing the will of God, are you going to get the promises? No. That's what he says. After you do the will of God, the promises are released. Amen? It says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So we are in need of endurance. Endurance. Just like we need to endure temptations. We are in need of endurance. After we do the will of God, the promises are released. We are in need of endurance. We are needed in strength of the Lord. That's why it's so important to walk in his presence. Amen? So that we are backed by the anointing. Let's go a little further. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the, wait for the promise. So the Lord asks somebody to do something, and he does that part, and that's called according to the will of God, and now they're waiting for the promise. But so many times people have no endurance to wait for the promise. They become anxious. And then they do it according to their will, but not according to God's will, and it's out of God's time. And they wonder why the promise didn't come. They wonder why things fall apart, things collapse. And that's where the enemy pushes and the Spirit leads. And that's why we're to be led by the Spirit. It is vitally important that we're led by the Spirit. Amen? So he said, and being assembled with them, he said, look, don't depart, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Amen. You know how many people have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Many. First of all, they don't even realize it's a promise. They just think, oh, well, then God must just give it to you, but not me. But it's not true. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. But so many people have not possessed that promise because they don't believe it's for them. I hear so many people say, even with healing, healing's a promise, isn't it? People go, if God wanted me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, then he would. Well, you better get in position to get it. If you're going to a fellowship that doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's most likely you won't be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe in healing, but I don't think it's for me. I hear a lot of people think that poverty is, I've accepted the sacrifice of poverty. That's my humbleness towards God. Well, you're an idiot. God never required poverty. He required prosperity. Hello. I mean, some of these, and then people say, well, it's in the Word. I'm like, where is it in the Word? It's because they don't even read it. How are you going to know the promises if you don't read the Word of God? You're not. You're going to go by what somebody else tells you, and it's not real. It's not true. Amen? Turn to Acts 2:38. Well, healing's not for me. Oh, no. Hallelujah. Devils? I don't believe in devils. Well, that's a spirit of unbelief, isn't it? It's a demon. Hallelujah. In verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent. You know how many people don't realize they got to repent? They repented one time, accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and never repented again. Like they're made perfect already. Like they never sin again. They're never going to sin again. Well, wouldn't that be wonderful? But Peter says to them, man, you need to repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. I'm telling you, it baffles me. It baffles me that people are not being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or, you know, I've asked many people, and they only know the baptism of water. They don't know the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And even Paul said that. He said, well, who were you baptized with? And they said, well, John's baptism, remission of sin. But you know, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is no power. There's no power. And not only once we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, now we need to maintain the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't maintain the filling of the Holy Spirit, you get possessed by the old man again. Hallelujah. Repent and receive the promise. Here's another awesome promise, Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, and verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, hello. We need to walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement, everyone say requirement. That takes cooperation, doesn't it? The righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Does everybody got it? So there's condemnation to those who are in the flesh and no condemnation to those who are in the Spirit. There's a difference. Amen? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, there's no condemnation to those who are in the Spirit. In other words, they're setting their mind on the things of the flesh all the time. Setting their mind on the things of the flesh and not the Spirit. Setting their mind on the things of the flesh and not the Spirit. So when you're setting your mind on the things of the flesh, it's impossible to possess the promises of God. Not until your mind is set on the things of the Spirit. Is everybody okay? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Hallelujah. In verse 18, and Moses was speaking to the Israelites, and he said, and I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. So we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God has commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be what? See, one of the things that prevents us from not possessing the promises of God is fear and discouragement. Because what it does is it moves us out of position and into the area of self-strength, in the area of even self-confidence, more confidence in yourself than in trusting in God. Fear and discouragement moves you out of place to possess the promise. So everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further on that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and the cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your young men, one man from each tribe. And they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshkol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us, saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. What God is giving us is good. His promises are good, aren't they? Amen. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying that the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Achim there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you. As a man carries his son in a way that you went until you came to this place. In other words, there's so many times when discouragement prevents us from possessing the promise. You know, we may do the will of God and then the enemy pushes us out because we haven't endured to possess the promise. And the next thing we find ourselves going in discouragement or in fear. You know, so many times people are afraid to get out of the boat. They're afraid of being uncomfortable. They're afraid of what people might think. They're afraid of failure. Some people are afraid of success. They're afraid. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. And one of the things that we must desire is to possess the promise. But again, flesh cannot possess the promise. How many things has God promised you? He said, if you'll do this, I'll do that. There are personal promises that he's given me and you in covenant. And there are eternal promises that he's given us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there's two things that we must possess before we can possess the promise. Vitally important. Two things we must possess so we can possess the promise without it being lost. The first thing we must possess is our thoughts. We must possess them. We must possess our thoughts. If you cannot possess your thoughts, you cannot possess the promise. You won't hold on to it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War according to the flesh. Let me tell you, there is war going on, and there's a warfare. And the warfare must continue to maintain possession. Amen? We are to take possession, first of all, of our thoughts. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. That's called possessing your thoughts. To the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So if you're not taking your thoughts in possession and judging them according to what Christ says, you're not possessing them. Then the enemy has you to set your mind on the things of the flesh me, myself, and I. And you cannot possess the promises because you can't hold on to them. You can't endure. How many people do you know yourself, maybe yourself, that you started off right and the next thing you know, you couldn't endure. The first thing is because you never had full possession of your thoughts. Can you imagine if every believer had possession of their thoughts? Man, would we take everything of the devil. Amen? We'd all be like-minded. That's why he tells us that we're gird up the loins of our mind, that we're to put on the mind of Christ. But people are not going to possess their thoughts if they don't have anything to compare them with. That's why it's important about the Word of God, the truth. Again, to possess the promises, you must possess your thoughts first. Without possession of those thoughts and discerning those things, you are easily deceived and easily let go of the promises of God. Is everybody okay? The other thing that we must possess, two things you must possess, not only your thoughts, but your tongue. You must possess your thoughts and your tongue. Hello. Is everybody okay? James chapter 3. You know, the word tells us, as a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. As a man speaks, is what he eats. And what you eat is what you become. Two things we must possess if you want to possess the promises after you've done the will of God. Your thoughts and your tongue. Your thoughts and your tongue. In James 3 and verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Again, we must possess our thoughts and our tongue to possess the promises of God. Amen. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3. I might have shared the story before. We were out playing tennis one night, and there was three or four courts there, and all the way at the end of the court there was a kid down. There was about four or five kids down there, and they were hitting a ball, and I mean they were cussing. The one kid was cussing like crazy, and I was putting up with it for a while, and you know we were playing. I'm just hearing this. I mean it was just getting disgusting. Finally, I said, "Yo, give me a break." And he looked at me. I said, "I hope you don't kiss anybody out of that mouth." And all of his friends started laughing and started mocking him. So I just had to, it was an opportunity for me to just let it go. And then they stopped cussing and whatever, and they walked away. And about 5 minutes later, they all left, about four or five of them. And it just took a little wisdom, you know, about, okay, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've been waiting. I don't know what to say. And what am I going to say to these kids? All right, give me a break. And then, you know. I hope you don't kiss anybody out of that mouth, you know. Something they can relate to. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3. So we want to be ready, don't we? You know, there's a lot of things getting ready to happen. God is pouring out his presence. Promises are being released. Position is being caused. There's a new desire. There's a new song that's going out everywhere. It's a new song. And in this new song, there's a fresh anointing from God. Everything is being freshed. But I'm telling you, you'll quench it. I want the rain cloud always over me. And it's not a dark cloud, okay? It's a glory anointing cloud running, raining. So I stay in peace, joy, and righteousness. In verse 10, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a what? Thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with all great noise. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Holy conduct and godliness. Is everybody there? Oh, okay. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever and ever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Something simple. But again, sometimes what seems to be so simple seems to be so difficult. But we must discern these things. We must see these things. We must practice these things. You cannot possess the promises without possessing your thoughts and your tongue, because they'll end up slipping away from you. Amen? We are in a critical time right now. It's important to be spiritually positioned and positioned for the blessings and the favor and the commands and promises of God. Do not lose heart. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged, and don't fear. Grab hold of the future and let go of the past. Amen. Now, Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord visit you. The Lord strengthen you and establish you. The Lord heal you and deliver you. And the Lord releases promises to you that you may possess them as you possess your thoughts and your tongue, in the name of Jesus. I want to thank everyone for listening and for all of our viewers. And for any further information, you can visit our eternal library at .org. Learn and grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.